Casey Corcoran Podcast.
I'd like to ask a few questions about this breakfast cereal.
Yeah. Box of tricks.
That's right. I've been led to understand that tricks are exclusively for children. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, they say tricks are for kids in the commercials.
And is that enforced by law?
Not to my knowledge, no.
So if I purchase these tricks, there'll be no trouble?
No. No, you should be fine.
You do understand that I myself am not a child.
I was able to sniff that out, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to bring these back to my apartment.
You'll be okay.
And I won't be followed.
No, that's not in our budget here.
Hey, I won't forget what you've done for me here today.
I would prefer that you do.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Thursday, July 28th, 2022, 107 days remaining in our American democratic system of government, as we have known it. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. Well, I've already had a weird day. I mean, normally, I'm like everybody else. This thing posts a little bit after 7 o'clock every day, and I'm starting my day just as you are starting your day. You're just rubbing balls of sleep out of your eyes, and you're just trying to wake up. Not me. I had my alarm set for 3:45 because my father-in-law, who was watching the animals for us while we were visiting in St. Louis, he was scheduled to fly out of the Tampa airport at 5:55 a.m. So technically, you're supposed to be there at, like, you know, 4:30 in the morning at the absolute latest. So I have my alarm set for 3:45 a.m., which is going to be bad enough, right? At 3:15, my father-in-law, who thinks that for whatever reason, perhaps I have overslept, comes in and taps me on the shoulder and says, did you oversleep? I'm looking at the clock. It's 3:15. I'm like, no, I have it set for 3:45. All I have to do is be awake for like 5 minutes. I'm going to take you to the airport. Then I'm going to come back. I'm going to go back to bed. Then I'm going to get up and I'm going to do the podcast. So he's like, oh, okay. He's already showered and shaved. He's dressed. He's sitting there. He's ready to go. I'm not. I go back to sleep. 3:45. Sure enough, the alarm goes off. Now, drive him to the airport, drive all the way back, get back in bed, try to get like another hour sleep, which I did. Now I wake up. My daughter has been awakened by all of this commotion. And just as I'm getting ready to start the podcast, she comes in knocking the door. Very unusual for her to knock on the door this early in the day. Dad, there's a dead cockroach in the bathtub. Okay, I'll get it. She leaves the door to the studio open. That's her way of saying, do it now, like right now, because otherwise she would close the door behind her. Anyhow, so now I go in. I'm still waking up. I'm like, oh, God, there's a bug in here. And that happens every once in a while. Once in a blue moon, we will get a cockroach in the bathtub, usually when there's a lot of heavy rain, and there's been a lot of heavy rain. And so, you know, once in a while, I don't know what happens, but I think the things start to drown and somehow they come up through the system, you know, through the plumbing system, and they end up in the bathtub. And yeah, nice job with the cockroach. You made it that far. You make it to our bathtub, but then you die. So I get up and I get a wad of toilet paper. I mean, let me get this thing. And I reach down to the bathtub to pick it up. It's not dead. It's very alive, and now it's crawling up my arm, and I'm running around the bathroom trying to shake this thing off of my arm. Then I lose it. Where is it? I finally got it, but boy, am I awake now. Whoa, will that wake you up? So, hello, and we're going to have heavy downpours again today, which is the last thing you want to hear. Anytime after about 12 noon today, especially like noon to 3, right in there, there's going to be some severe weather in all likelihood. I'm not necessarily saying tornadoes, but there's going to be lightning. There's going to be thunder. There is going to be a lot of heavy rain. The good news is it'll be over quickly. So even though it could be heavy downpours, there will be heavy downpours, you know, 2-3 hours of this, and then it'll be gone, which is different from the other day where it's just over and over and over and over and over again. So there. Albert, 3-for-4 in Toronto last night. As bad as the Cardinals looked on Tuesday night, that's how much better they looked yesterday. Home run number 686, deepest part of the ballpark. Speaking of the Cardinals, I've had this thing sitting here looking at it, trying to decide. So I'm at Busch Stadium 2 Friday nights ago. And I didn't even know about this, but usually on Friday night, they do have some sort of a giveaway. About 2.5 years ago, I sold or gave away probably 85% of my sports and entertainment memorabilia. I probably had somewhere between 60 and 80 pieces of memorabilia. I had neon signs that said Fox Sports Midwest and Budweiser and stuff like that. I had jackets, hats, shirts, sweatshirts, framed photographs, autographed stuff. And I just reached the point where, you know, when I was younger, I really enjoyed having this stuff. And somebody would come over to the house, you'd walk them around and show them all the cool stuff that you had in terms of memorabilia. Some of the stuff just was of a personal nature, reminded me of a time in my life and my career. And I wanted to hold on to my 59 WOW window scraper. Anyhow, I got rid of, like I said, about 85, kept the best 15% of the stuff. And I just recently bought myself a brand new Cardinal hat. It's the baby blue, you know, the powder blue hat with the birds on the bat insignia on the front. It's really a cool hat, which is interesting because they don't sell it at the team store at Busch Stadium. You can only get it online. A lot of the hat stores don't have it. I think it was Lids in West County Mall is where I got it. So I got the hat. So I got a new Cardinal hat. Just time for something new. So I'm at the ball game 2 Fridays ago, and it's hat night, and they're giving away these hats. It's sponsored by Brown and Crouppen, and I'm still trying to decide whether this is the dumbest, ugliest hat I've ever seen. It's got a navy blue brim. It's got the Cardinal, you know, STL logo on the front of the hat. But then the cloth part of the hat on top of your head looks like the pattern of a children's pair of pajamas. Like, I used to have a pair of pajama shorts when I was a little boy, and it said, "I'm a little leaguer," a little insignia on there, okay? So I used to really like that. This sort of looks like if you bought an 8-year-old boy a pair of sports-themed, baseball-themed, Cardinal-themed pajamas, that's what this looks like. Well, they made these into hats. And I keep looking at this hat trying to decide, and I've showed it to other people, and they sort of look at it like, It's like when you get a haircut, and you go, "What do you think?" And somebody will look at it, like your wife or your girlfriend or something like that for the guys. They'll look at you, and they'll go, "It'll grow back." You know what that means? That means it's a terrible haircut. And they're offering you hope, salvation for the future. "It'll grow back." My father-in-law, I took it out. You know, back in the day, you would have called this hat fruity looking. Probably can't say that now. But, you know, I brought it back. I'm showing it to people, and they're looking at it like, "You know, you can wear it to cut the grass and do yard work and stuff like that." Terry Crouppen, what were you thinking there, buddy? What were you thinking? Terry's a good guy, by the way. Oh, and back to the Cardinals for a minute. You know, this is a very interesting week coming up next week. You got the Cubs, and then you got the Yankees in town. Can't imagine what people are having to shell out for those tickets. You know, they have that dynamic pricing right now, which means, yeah, you get you a $10 ticket to get in to see the Pittsburgh Pirates. But when the Yankees come to town, take out a second mortgage. I guess by now you've seen that the NFL is going to go to a streaming platform. They're looking around going, "Hold it, wait a minute. Major League Baseball has been doing what? There's hardly any free games. Every once in a while, maybe on the network on the weekend, they'll put a free game up there. But other than that, you've got to pay if you want to see a baseball game on TV. Well, why aren't we doing that? Well, they will be now. Speaking of the Cardinal Friday night game 2 weeks ago, I got to tell you the story. And I went, oh, and by the way, thanks to everybody who had their theories on why Victor, our 16-year-old cat, is just walking around constantly meowing. Unfortunately, none of the diagnoses that people have put forth appear to apply. Some people said there's something called feline dementia, and that does not seem to be a problem. Some people have suggested that maybe he's going deaf, and in the past, people have said, oh, yeah, when a cat goes deaf, it'll walk around and meow because it knows something is wrong, and its only solution to the problem is to try to walk around and just constantly meow. He hears fine. His back was turned the other day. I was 30 feet away, and I said, Victor. He turned right around and looked at me. So it's not that. He's also not blind, which was another hypothesis on this whole thing. So right now I still got a cat walking around just yakking for no reason. We still are trying to figure things out. Anyhow, I might need a little help on this one too. All right. Here's what happened. What I do is I drive around downtown when I go to the ball games. I drive around downtown, and it's against my religion to pay $20 or $30 or even more than that in some cases to park my car. I need the exercise. I like the exercise. So if I have to walk even 6 blocks, maybe even longer than that, as long as I'm not venturing too much off the beaten path, get myself shot in the head after the game, you know, as long as on one of the major streets, I just drive around until I find something. And I always do. I always find something. So in this particular case, it was South Broadway at Olive, I believe. And you can go look at this thing yourself if you want. I'm going to actually look this up and tell you what the exact parking space number is. Hold on a minute. I got to look at this. Okay. Here it is. Here it is right here. All right. So, you know, if you're going to park on the street in downtown St. Louis, they got these little signs and it gives you a 4-digit number. And then there's an arrow pointing to the space and you park your car there. And then you walk over to the little kiosk and you put your credit card in there or your cash, whatever the case may be. You stuff your money in there and you go your happy way. So I pull into an empty parking space and I get out of the car and I look for the number of the space and there isn't one. And it's not, you know, the curb isn't painted yellow or anything. It's just a space without a number. The space in front of me says 1586. The space behind me says 1587. But there is no number for the space that I'm in. There's no restriction on the space. There's just no corresponding number. 1587 behind me, 1586 in front of me. I'm looking at it going, well, there isn't any sign that says you can't park here, but there isn't any way to pay for this space because the space has no number. There's no driveway. There's no loading dock. There's no sign that says don't park in this space. Frankly, it looks like the city just fucked up and forgot to assign a number to this particular parking space. And this is all up and down Broadway, all up and down Broadway at Olive. Like I said, if you work down there or you're downtown for some reason, go ahead and look at it yourself. It's right there. So I figure this is not my problem. This is the city's problem. There's no restriction against parking in this parking space, but there's no way to pay for it because there's no corresponding number. Sure enough, I come out of the ballpark and the guy has written me a ticket. And on the ticket, it says 1586. 1586 is the parking space in front of me. There's an arrow pointing to the space in front of me. Now, I took pictures of all of this, and I'm going to send this into the Traffic Bureau and just basically say, hey, you guys gave me a ticket, and I don't think this is legal. And like I said, I got pictures of my car there. I got pictures of the signs. I took wide shots. I took close shots because I'm standing there after the ballpark, and people are looking, why is he taking pictures of a parking space in his car? And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like Curly in the Three Stooges movies. I'm a victim of circumstance. I will let you know how this turns out. But right now, I say I got a really damn good case. My dad used to say you can't fight City Hall. John Mellencamp said, I fight authority, authority always wins. By the way, if you ever run into John Mellencamp somewhere, don't buy him a chili dog, because things are going to get weird. I still have my Ukraine flag hanging proudly in front of my house. I've had that up now for several months. I don't know how I feel about this. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and his wife did a photo shoot for Vogue, and the wife told the magazine, we have no doubt we will prevail, and this is what keeps us going, end quote. Cover shots on Vogue? Not sure I understand that. How'd you like to feel real old right now? Remember the movie Mean Girls, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler? All right. All the girls who played the plastics in the movie are now older than Tina and Amy were when they made the movie. Tina Fey was 34. Amy Poehler was 33 when they made Mean Girls. The girls, Lindsay Lohan, Amanda Seyfried, are now 36. Lacey, what's her name, is 39. Rachel McAdams is 43. There's a pool float inspired by the door that Rose survives on in Titanic. You'll be able to settle the long-debated question, could Rose have saved Jack? You get this thing on Amazon for $30. Late Night Tonight, Mark Wahlberg. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Jonathan Carl from ABC News. I'm with Colbert. And Nathan Lane pops up with Seth Meyers. Speaking of Seth, rest of the shows for this week canceled. He caught COVID for the second time, so he's off. Tony Dow is so dead this time that they're actually going to bury him. 2 days ago, he died, or they said he died, and then they're like, no, he's still here, but he won't be much longer. I don't know what the point of any of this was. He was 77 years old. The Weird Al Yankovic biopic with Daniel Radcliffe is coming out November 4th on the Roku channel. I'm really looking forward to this. I have a couple of friends who know Norman Lear, the legendary TV producer who turned 100 yesterday. ABC is going to do a 2-hour special in his honor coming up in September. Birthdays today. I interviewed this girl for the movie Showgirls. Jessie from Saved by the Bell. Woke up everybody, cleaned out your sinuses, did a bunch of stuff in that movie where you went, wow! Elizabeth Berkley, 50 today. Lori Loughlin is 58. Sally Struthers from All in the Family, 75. People talk about how unprecedented what happened on 9/11 in New York was. Not exactly. In 1945, on this date, a U.S. Army bomber crashed into the 79th floor of the Empire State Building. 14 people were killed in that crash. Biggest rock festival in history took place on this date in 1973, Watkins Glen's New York. Watkins Glen, New York. 600,000 people, Grateful Dead, Allman Brothers, and the band. Lee Majors married Farrah Fawcett on this date in 73. They divorced in 82. Animal House released on this date in 1978. And honest to God, one of the coolest guys, one of the nicest people I've ever met in show business is Chicago's own Harold Ramis, who co-wrote Animal House and talked to us a little bit about it.
It's Groundhog Day!
Oh, Harold Ramis, I'm sorry you had to hear that. It's
oh, man.
JC, U-Man, Sparky, Mac in St. Louis, welcome back.
Thank you.
To the shores of Washington University. We have a whole bunch of questions to ask you about your new movie, The Ice Harvest, with John Cusack, Billy Bob Thornton, Oliver Platt, Connie Nielsen. But we got to get a bunch of St. Louis stuff out of the way first.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, let's do that. Mm-hmm. All right, first of all, tell the story about how you ended up at Washington University, because if I remember this story correctly, when you got your honorary degree at Washington University, it was my ex-wife who actually coordinated all that stuff.
Oh, cool.
And I met you back 100 years ago. But tell this, you told me a story about how you ended up going to Wash U. Were you not a stowaway?
My best friend in high school was going to go to, wanted to go to Wash U, and I was going to go to Illinois because my family didn't have a lot of money, and I had a scholarship to Illinois, and he said, well, why don't you apply to Washington U, ask for financial aid? So I applied there, and I got a 4-year scholarship. So
just
I
like
went.
That.
He didn't even get in, and you know. When I did.
So your pal who wanted to get in.
We're not friends anymore, but
didn't make it in. All right, now let's talk about Animal House, because you co-wrote that, and people are always asking me. And so now Harold Ramis will say once and for all, what percentage of the movie, what scenes in Animal House were inspired by your time here in St. Louis and Gaslight Square in East St. Louis?
Well, my third of the movie was, you know, there were three writers. Chris Miller went to Dartmouth, Doug Kenny went to Harvard, and I went to Washington U. So we Doug, Chris, and I sat together in a room every day for 3 months, 8 hours a day, and just told stories of everyone we knew from college, every funny thing that ever happened, anything that happened to our brothers, our uncles, our fathers, and then everything we'd ever heard of, all the apocryphal stuff, the urban legends of college, you know. So all that went into this big soup, and, you know, we just kept stirring it till characters came out and the story emerged, and that was the movie. So, you know, I used to go to East St. Louis to hear music. There was a band called Benny Sharp and the Sharpies at a club called Leo's Blue Note in East St. Louis, and that's where I got, you know, my part of the scene where they go see Otis Day and the Nights.
Otis, he loves us. You might have, we danced with your dates. 44 years ago today, 1978. And Joe Perry quit Aerosmith on this date in 1979 after getting into a backstage argument with Steven Tyler. It took 5 years before he rejoined the group again. Opening from Three's Company, come and knock on our door. You might recall in the opening of the show, there's a little clip where I think Jack, played by John Ritter, is feeding seagulls, and the seagulls are flying around all over the place. It's a very cute scene. There's only one problem. Don't ever do it. Seagulls are rats with wings. They're scavengers. They poop all over everything. You know, if you're at the beach, I don't have to tell you. Check out a piece of food, set it down. Damn seagull fly in and steal your sandwich. And you think that's the worst part. It's not, because there's like 50 other seagulls who apparently can see very, very well. And now they all end up right in your face, too. You want to make enemies at the beach real, real quickly? Feed the seagulls. You know, even accidentally. In a new poll, 58% of people characterize their feelings towards seagulls as negative. 58%. 5% said they think positively of seagulls. This is depressing. 2 in 3 Americans say they don't believe they'll see positive social change during their lifetime, but they still want to leave the world in a better place for the next generation. And nobody won the Mega Millions, so the pot now is up to $1.2 billion, with a B, billion dollars. What are your chances of winning? About the same as if you were going down the street on a skateboard on the shoulders of George Clooney and you're hit by lightning. Good luck. Guinness says a guy from Italy now holds the record for the largest collection of Pepsi cans. He's got 12,402 of them. Each one is different. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say single. A bingo game in Brazil devolved into chaos when some sort of mistake caused more than 100 people to get bingo all at the same time. Oh, why isn't there video of that? A woman in Florida tried to extort her ex-girlfriend by threatening to send nude photos of her to her grandmother. They caught her. Three teenage girls were in a car that plunged into a river in Mississippi a couple of days ago, but a 16-year-old kid who happened to be there saved them all. His name is Corian Evans. He says a friend helped him get all three of them out. He also saved the cop who went, jumped in, tried to save him, and then he started drowning too. A monument in the state of Georgia known as the American Stonehenge got destroyed last week when somebody blew it up. It might have been a QAnon nut, but they've claimed before that that monument was satanic. A huge hole got punched in the side of a plane 45 minutes into a flight from Dubai to Australia last Friday, but the pilots couldn't see it, so they thought everything was fine. They flew another 13 hours, and when they landed, somebody said, you know you got a hole in your plane? New study is the first to prove that being hangry is actually a real thing. People were 34% angrier and 37% more irritable when they were hungry. A new study found narcissistic men don't last long in bed, and they're more likely to have performance issues too. Basically, guys who are really narcissistic tend to be overly focused on satisfying themselves, and they care more about the end result than about connecting with their partner. But that attitude backfires. Men with an inflated ego are more likely to finish too early at the beginning of a relationship and not be able to perform at all once it's been a while, so they're more likely to prefer solo loving over the real thing. We had National Hot Dog Day a couple of days ago, and people like this start wars. 8% of us think hot dogs are an acceptable topping on a hamburger. I'd like a hamburger, please, and put a hot dog on top of it. The other most popular condiments on a hot dog: ketchup, tomatoes, pickles, lettuce, mayo, relish, bacon, grilled onions, ranch dressing, blue cheese, potato chips, avocado, jalapenos, chili, salsa, mac and cheese, and peanut butter. Sometimes I think I'm the only person on earth that never worked in a restaurant when I was a kid. I just never did it. I just had worked at a candy counter and popcorn, you know, stuff like that, in a movie theater, but never in a restaurant. I've never worked in a restaurant. There's a forum online where restaurant chefs are sharing the red flags you should look for that reveal that a place is low quality. Now, some of the stuff I've heard before and some of the stuff you might want to take into consideration. For example, and again, these are the chefs, and number one on the list is smell. If it's a sour smell, or if the restaurant smells of disinfectant, they said that's a red flag, probably because they're trying to cover up the smell of something else. If there's a fish tank, take a look at it. If it's clean, the restaurant kitchen is too. If the fish tank looks icky, get back in the car. Dirty bathrooms and dirty floors equal a dirty kitchen. A huge menu is a sign that food is frozen and the ingredients aren't fresh. See, I never even thought of that. It makes perfect sense, you know, because you've got to get all of that food prepared so that if somebody orders it, it's ready to go. So that means they're freezing a lot of stuff. Carpet is one of the most disgusting things. Vacuuming only goes so far, so you don't want carpeting in restaurants. The bread, and the chefs say if they can't get the bread right, they don't know anything. If you can smell the seafood when you walk in, it's not fresh. If you see lots of plates left half full, run. When you walk in and you aren't greeted or nobody makes eye contact, that's not a good sign. It's a sign of mismanagement. And stock photos on the menu. You know, I've been in restaurants where you look at the menu and it's a picture of a cheeseburger and it looks like it's something from a Woolworth's lunch counter menu from 1965. They also say cheap silverware is not a good sign. Get the hell out of those restaurants. And the primary elections are coming up very, very soon. And I don't think that's bad news for anybody, because when you're watching TV, these political ads, which just get goofier and goofier and more obnoxious and more ridiculous every year that goes by, those will all finally end. One of the guys running for political office is Herschel Walker, who used to be a very talented football player, but was never really known as Mensa material, let's just put it that way. During an interview, Herschel Walker said there were 52 states. He's making a speech. Yeah, in all 52 states. And somebody said, Herschel, you're off by two. To which he responded, oh, duh, 54 states. Sorry. And with that, that's the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, July 28th, 2022, 107 days remaining in our democratic system of government as we have known it. We're here every weekday morning just after 7. We're absolutely free. You can email me, JC at jcontheline.com. Also, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran on Facebook. We are, perhaps it could be said, hours, only hours away from a special announcement. So come on back tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.